48, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth. Meditation. Meditation is an activity most close to my heart, one which I credit with offering me great sustenance and guidance over the 40 plus years I have used it. At the same time, no one could be poorer at formal meditation than myself. When we think of meditating, we think of Swamis sitting for hours at a time in motionless bliss. This has not been my usual experience with meditation. I am restless, I twitch and shift in my seat. I watch a million thoughts arise and fall away. And yet I still have experienced tremendous help from this resource. My first concern in talking about meditation, then, is to assure seeker that it does not have to be done well to work for us. It needs primarily to be persistently attempted. It is an activity which takes on its own rhythm when we include it in our lives and make it a settled habit. If I had to choose only one mystical tool for growth, it would be silent meditation. Mike Korinko says, "I started daily meditations again with no point other than to just sit and be peaceful. It is amazing how much that helps. There were days when I couldn't get the job thing out of my head, but I sat there anyway. I hope I never again forget how important that quiet time with the Creator is for me." 1. How can we describe this quiet time with the Creator? 131 feels that meditation is her kyan to her deity. "I have been meditating for years and use that time to, among other things, go to my higher source. It is usually a time of great nourishment for me, and it helps me face the rest of my life, even in times of great despair." 2. Those of Ra confirm. The passive meditation involving the clearing of the mind, the emptying of the mental jumble which is characteristic of mind complex activity among your peoples, is efficacious for those whose goal is to achieve an inner silence as a base from which to listen to the Creator. This is an useful and helpful tool and is by far the most generally useful type of meditation as opposed to contemplation or prayer. 349, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth. Meditation may also be seen to be a means of kyan to the deeper self, that self that is beneath the limelight of the subconscious. Karen Pekarsik says, "Most of the time I play the forgetting game. I forget who I am. Where is the inner beauty residing within me?" This is where meditation plays its major part. Every day it reminds me that I am more than my physical appetites, I am more than my sometimes turbulent emotions, and I am more than my mental chatter. And what I am is a wonderful being filled with joy and beauty. 4. The brothers and sisters of sorrow agree that meditation brings us to awareness of who we really are. Meditation is the most efficient means of discovering those portions of the self which seek to make themselves known to the conscious mind, so that the conscious mind might grow further in its grasp of understanding of unity with all that is. You may see these unformed queries in your mind as the seeds of your future growth, and you may see the price of meditation, contemplation, prayer and the seeking in general as those means whereby the seeds shall receive the water of your attention which is necessary for them to sprout, and to bloom forth into their full glory, for they contain that part of yourself which is yet unborn, and which seeks to become born. 5. This gentle turning of the identity back from the doing of "I am a healer" to the being of "I am" is a priceless fruit of meditation. The movement in development of personality is from the surface of things, deeper and deeper into them, until finally the seeking and the sought become one thing, so that you are not meditating, but finally you are the meditation, and this meditation is your perf poem, your arrangement of your consciousness, and you know in an instant that this consciousness is the gift which you shall give to the Creator. 6. We may also see the conduit opened by meditation as being co-ed to spiritual grace. Meditation has been greatly misunderstood among your peoples. It is thought that one is to make one's intelligence a blank tablet, a tabula rasa. One is supposed to find silence within. Only then in that silence is the meditation considered successful. This is not our understanding of the helpful value of meditation. The intention of those who meditate is that they may be open to spiritual grace, not knowledge, for there is no such absolute within third density, but grace. 7, 350, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth. Romy Borrell talks about what she calls timelessness. I have finally been able to enter a new place through meditation. I achieve timelessness. I see so much and feel so much and go through so much, yet when I am led back, sometimes only 10 or 15 minutes has gone by. I'm amazed. I am truly, gently seeking my purpose now. I feel myself going through tremendous transformation. I've lost 20 pounds in the last 2 months, no appetite. When I question this, I'm told that I'm being fed on another level. Weird. I'm still moving slowly, accepting what is given, taking the meditation suggestions that are given once I am surrounded by light and pursuing those. I've never been this gentle with myself before. It feels delightful. I have to fight the feeling of resentment when I am guided back out of wherever it is that I go. It is so peaceful there. But it feels like someone is showing me to the reality door and saying, "Okay, the ride is over, now get back to work." 8. Being fed on another level is just what meditation feels like to me, even though I can never get my mind to shut off completely. Those of Hatton say that meditation is a kind of spiritual manna, feed your faith and your understanding through meditation. The further that you go along this path, my friends, the more meaningful you will find this simple statement, meditate. It begins as a simple process and, little by little, it becomes a way in which you live. Observe it as you progress along your own spiritual path. 9. And although usually the path of a meditator is not suddenly changed by the process, but is gradually altered, sometimes it is clear that meditation is the agent of sudden and rapid change, as in this story by Jim McCarty. He relates how he came to leave Paul Shockley's group in Oregon. "I had a great time with the folks from Cosmic Awareness Communications and Paul Shockley's Aquarian Church of Universal Service, but a chance to make a lot of money with a fellow from the Aquarian Church puzzled me, and I took the weekend to think about it in my humble trailer outside of Yom Hill, Oregon. I had met Don and Carla before I left Kentucky and had come to a number of their meditations, and we had gotten along well enough that they had invited me to join them in the summer of 1980. But I had it in my mind that I needed to go to Oregon. But on that weekend of decision making, I was going to have to give all this more thought, because though I had nothing against money, I hadn't come to Oregon to make a lot of it. As I sat down for 351, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth, my first meditation that weekend, it must have taken all of 30 seconds before the message to return to Louisville and join Don and Carla arched across the sky of my inner eye, and within 2 weeks I was back in Louisville. Within 3 weeks of joining Don and Carla, the Rakanta began, and the rest has been our continuing story together. 10. This process of changing is quite organic, and it is generally only in looking back over a period that one can begin to see the process at work. But work it does. Meditation is a strong force for change. Meditation is passive learning. Tabernacling with the one infinite creator is passive learning. It is the learning from listening to the voice one cannot hear, which answers questions which one cannot ask. The process cannot be known and cannot come into consciousness in local sense, yet the learning is there. And the strength of spirit and will which comes from this learning is helpful. 11. I think our hearts are the tabernacle into which the Creator comes. Indeed, when I have encountered the Infinite One there, I am the latecomer to my own heart. The Creator is already there, waiting for me patiently. Since the most efficient process is normally slow and steady, one thing important to recommend is an upper limit to how much meditation we do, so that we avoid metaphysical exhaustion. Those of you who say, if one is not careful, one can create one's own spiritual burnout. We suggest that the meditations be limited to perhaps no more than an hour per day, perhaps no more than a half hour at any one sitting. This is due to the fact that meditation is a very powerful tool, and the rate of change needs to be slow enough that the personality of your consciousness may have time to absorb knowledge and inspiration that it receives and make its choices in a timely and deliberate manner. It is not well to rush or to hurry the spiritual life, for the soul has its leisure, and in the fullness of time are things accomplished. 12. My own silent daily meditations are only 5 to 15 minutes long. They have sufficed to keep me changing fast enough to suit me. One thing meditation has often proven to be for me is a key to getting more done in the physical world. Anchored by meditation, my day just moves more smoothly. Romy Borrell says, with regard to meditation and prayer, the comments on our busy lifestyles reminded me of a quote from Gandhi, "I have so much to do today. I shall have to meditate for 2 hours rather than just one." 13, 352, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth. All this makes meditation sound wonderful. However, attempts to get into meditation can feel quite fruitless. Joe Combs says, "I try to meditate, but I cannot quiet the cacophony in my head, along with a constant ringing in my left ear." 14 Joe may have the tinnitus all the time and be too busy to be bothered by it. But when our bodies sit still and they are unaccustomed to doing so, they rebel. They look for a focus. And so Joe becomes aware of the ringing in his ears when he gets silent. If we have a headache or stomachache, it will reliably get worse during meditation. If we are tense, we may feel even tenser. Until we get our bodies into the habit of sitting still and doing absolutely nothing in the physical sense, they will cut up rough. When I first began meditating every day, at the tender age of 13, I was the stomachache queen. It took only seconds to develop a royal case of gastritis. After a few weeks, this phase ended, but then I began to see monsters when I closed my eyes. I suppose it was the elementals of the lower astral plane that were cavorting through the open door betwixt my conscious and subconscious minds. They were completely harmless. The appearances only lasted for a few weeks, until my body finally got into the habit of sitting in meditation. S. reports that his emotions swamped him when he first began to meditate. "I haven't been meditating for long. This whole spiritual journey has been going on for years now. I am only 18 and I feel so old. But I digress. I can't grasp the problems I have been having with meditation. When I first started it was a bit superficial, but as I got better and it got deeper a sense of urgency developed that grew in intensity so that it became physically uncomfortable. It becomes a struggle to remain still and concentrate. I have rarely stopped because the emotions overwhelm my ability to focus." 15 Again, perseverance is the only answer. When we start to meditate, we will find all of our own secrets out in front of ourselves. All the places where we are habitually holding tension in our bodies, all the repetitive thoughts and fears and pent-up emotions, all the little quirks of mind and manner that we normally miss because we are in motion. It may take us a year or more to wade through the various waters we have puddled for ourselves as a moat between our castle wall selves and the seemingly inner world that awaits us beyond the waters of consciousness. This inner world is as vast and trackless an ocean as any outer sea. The inner planes and metaphysical universe are inner in the space, time sense, but very outer in the time slash. 353, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth Space Sense. It is no wonder that the meditator can feel she is awash and making no headway at all. Mary says, "I meditate and meditate, but I am not making the right kind, I guess. It seems the further I go, the more questions I have. And to think that when I was a teenager, I thought I knew it all." 16 The expansion of questions is, to my mind, evidence that meditation is indeed working for Mary. It is not the answers we receive from meditation that are so helpful as much as it is the improved clarity of our awareness of our own concerns. We begin to know our own minds. It is a long process, but one which has been eminently worthwhile in my own spiritual journey. In far, the craving for silent group meditation was what prompted me to join Don Elkin's meditation experiment in 1962. It was the beginning of a lifetime of fascinating adventures for me. Another very common distraction during meditation is the movement of energy across the skin. This seems to be an illiquely or illromagnetically caused sensation. Any part of the body can be involved. Many find the hair of the body moving as though illrified. The skin of the scalp is especially prone to such feelings. We at L. L. Research have always called the sensations conditioning. We first noticed it in group meditations when new channels were waiting for Kanta. It seemed to occur before the UAL information was given, as a kind of signal that a message was coming, or that Kanta had been achieved. However, I sat in the group for 12 years without learning to channel, or desiring to, and still received a lot of conditioning. I tend to receive conditioning across the top of my head, in the area covered by a small beanie. Others have described energy pulsing in their foreheads or across the third eye area, in the mouth and throat, or moving up and down their bodies. And there are many who say they feel increasingly large and weightless as meditations go on. Don asks those of Ra, questioner, each of us feels, in meditation, energy upon the head in various places. Could you tell me what this is, what it signifies and what the various places in which we feel it signify? Ra, the in-streamings of energy are felt by the energy centers which need, and are prepared for, evasion. Thus those who feel the stimulation at violet ray level are getting just that. Those feeling it within the forehead between the brows are experiencing indigo ray and so forth. Those experiencing tingling and visual images are having some blockage in the energy center being evaded and thus the illyrical body. 354, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth spreads this energy out and its effect is diffused. Those not truly sincerely requesting this energy may yet feel it if the entities are not well trained in psychic defense. Those not desirous of experiencing these sensations and elevations and changes even upon the subconscious level will not experience anything due to their abilities at defense and armoring against change. 17 Simple persistence with this price works wonders. It may be difficult to keep our spirits up if the price does not take at first, in our own subjective opinion. It seems so logical to evaluate our progress. We want to take our spiritual temperature, to see how much better we might be doing than previously. This is never a useful idea. We will always be wrong about ourselves, for we cannot see ourselves from the inside out. Avoid discouragement, and value persistence itself, and our own desire to evolve spiritually. That will bring the fruits of meditation to us over time. Those of you who urge patience, each usually experiences the subjective feeling that a meditation could have been purer or less cluttered with the errant thoughts of a foolish and shallow personality that seem to drift and rush through the calm and silent chamber within with undue rudeness and haste. Yet we ask you to be very patient and compassionate when looking at the performance of meditation or silent listening. 18 My own chief fault in meditation is the continuing number of errant thoughts that stray through my fertile mind during the silence. I always have music playing in my head, which is not surprising considering that I have sung in choirs and choruses since the age of 4. And come from a musical family of performers that made their own music and played recorded and radio music non-stop throughout my childhood. The combination is noisy and for me, memorable. My meditations are seldom peaceful in the sense of being completely silent, even in a group meditation. I encourage us all not to be discouraged by any tendency towards this. It has not stopped meditation from being a five in my life at all. Those of you who say, if one is simply mindful, and notes, without emotion or condemnation, each thought that moves through, allowing it to arise, allowing it to dissolve, then meditation has done that which it was intended for. It has allowed the entity to step back from the trees and see the forest. It has removed the tension of judgment and consideration and allowed a time that is truly free. A time in which the observer may simply watch thoughts arise and dissolve, not turning them away, not holding on to. 355, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth. Them. One may plan an entire menu, a shopping list or any other thought whatsoever during meditation if it is observed without that feeling of necessity to solidify the intelligence of the mind around the shopping list or the menu. 19 It is not the perfection of the form of meditation we are after but the yeast of it, the bubbly essence of its freedom. We will be more than we were as a result of it. But how to get into it? How to help ourselves to move into that meditative space? I have always used very simple things. Visualizing the breathing process was my first meditation aid, and I still enjoy using it. I visualize the air coming into my lungs as being the pure white light of the infinite creator. I visualize the air I exhale as containing all the old and weary material of body, mind and spirit. So I see white light flowing into my body, filling up my chest and stomach, and dissipating throughout my body, and the dark energy flowing out, leaving me lighter and lighter. Those of you who suggest clearing the chakras as a way to begin meditation, one good way to prepare oneself for meditation is to visualize each chakra in turn, beginning with the red root chakra, and moving upwards carefully clearing energies, carefully seeing your chakra centers glowing, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. When you have reached sufficient humility to be able to listen to advice from the higher self that is not easily understood to be other than the self, then we suggest that you begin with this clearing of the chakras, so that you feel the light streaming from your head, for you have opened all your chakras, you have become vulnerable, you are ready to take a risk. 20. This wanderer suggests meditating on nothing at all. Meditate on nothing. Yeah, I said nothing. Just open yourself up to your higher self. IT knows exactly what you need, and when we can shut up and sit down and let it guide us, amazing things begin to unfold. 21 Other suggestions include a winding wooded lane, using a mantra, and placing ourselves in the arms of Jesus. Some tips that were helpful to me starting out. Close your eyes and see a road, a dirt road, winding through the woods. Then follow it. Create an affirmation. I believe it was a mutual friend who offered, I invoke the light of God within. I am a clear and puff channel. Light is my guide, or you can create your own. But repeat it over and over again in your mind, focusing on nothing but the words. Don't expect too much. Everyone experiences meditation differently. Some of us experience it differently from one meditation to the next. The important 356, chapter 11, mystical tools for growth thing is that you get in the habit of trying it. Everything else will come. 22 I think of myself surrounded by the loving arms of Jesus nearly every time I meditate. Such great comfort, one cannot imagine. 23 Often, I do not do anything to get into meditation. I just sit. That is another great virtue of this resource, that it can be done virtually anywhere. One must wait, not just at home, not just at a certain time, not necessarily with eyes closed or looking at a candle, but any time we wish to move into that space. Again and again, we hear from the Confederation entities that doing it daily is very important. Your best ally in this endeavor is meditation. We hear each in this room saying, I cannot meditate well, so how is meditation going to help me? Well, my dear friends, no one meditates very well, for the puff meditation will remove all separation and restore all to unity. It is the force of the will that seeks meditation. It is the faith that moves a visible physical entity to seek the invisible and metaphysical. It is the discipline of doing so on a daily basis that will yield to you a continuing opening into your birthright, for as children of consciousness, are you not heirs to all of the truth? Are you not indeed embodiment of the truth? 24 We are convinced and ready to meditate. But when? That is the chief woe of the modern spiritual seeker, there is no time. We often have to shoehorn time into our schedules for this price very consciously. Those of Hatton point out that honing our desire to meditate is, therefore, our first step. We do suggest that you attempt to spend some minutes of your time each day in meditation. No matter what else you may do during the day, the silent meditation is the most efficient tool for seeding within you the awareness of the love of the Creator. When you dwell within that consciousness, you are no longer working under your power, a power which fails much like batteries fail and which must be replaced by your sleeping periods. No, meditation is much like finding the umbilical cord for constant power. It may flow through you, then, and not from you, and you will be far more radiant and able to dwell in the consciousness of the love and the light of the one infinite creator. 25 When during the day is it best to meditate? From the standpoint of convenience, the two best times are the beginning and the end of the day, because at those times, we are usually home and able to do what we wish. Jim and I, 357, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth have a morning offering at the beginning of each day, and it really anchors and enables our day. We begin with a silent meditation, and then have readings, a hymn and prayers. We have used evening offerings as well, although at present we are not formally doing them. The Christian Church's traditions offer 6 times a day for meditation and prayer, from the middle of the night to the early morning, noontime, late afternoon, after supper and at bedtime. Through the years, I have heard people praise each of those times as being their personal best times for spiritual work, and I am sure that, whatever hour of the day or night that we sit in meditation, we are joining thousands of others doing the same thing. We always have a group to meditate with, we just do not know them personally. For those with not enough time for formal meditation periods, I encourage a rethinking to see that even a short time of meditation is enough time. Those of you who say, we suggest at least a few minutes of meditation each day. We do not advise long meditations, except for those who meditate all the time, and are aware of how much power there is in the silent, listening meditation. Rather, we recommend approximately 15 minutes. We also recommend that mated couples attempt to do this together, as meditation brings change, and it is well that each understand the other's discomfort as the change occurs. Change is always painful. Thus, to the pilgrim we offer love, it is true, but discomfort, dustiness, feelings of aloneness and all that goes with doing that which is seldom attempted within your society, and almost never understood. 26 I can personally attest to the increased efficacy of meditation when we have a companion to share in the meditation. I think with great fondness of my meditation partners of so many years, from Jerry Storse, Jerry Crumpelman and Sally DeWitt in the 60s to the various incarnations of the L.L. Meditation Group family in their 40 years of meeting, and most especially to my meditating companion of 20 years, Jim McCarty. Meditating with someone else seems to steady and strengthen the focus for us both, and when we are lucky enough to have 3 or more people to swell the group, each addition further tends to empower the meditation of each in the group. There is tremendous strength in the joining together of seekers. I heartily recommend group meditation experiences, and finding a companion for daily meditation, as being most helpful in furthering our own meditative prowesses. I have read many books on meditation, and they are often very inspiring. Although I will never join the exalted ranks of true meditators, the resource, 358, Chapter 11, Mystical Tools for Growth of Meditation is within your and my grasp, and this waterfall of light can be ours as well as the most ascended masters. Those of you who say, it is as though within the meditation, regardless of how scattered it seems, there is a pure and distilled waterfall of light which irrigates and illumines, cell by cell, the body, mind and spirit. It is like being rinsed and polished to relax into that presence which is holy. 27. Contemplation. When we meditate, we are diving into the silence. When we contemplate, we are diving with assistance. We are taking an object into our musing thoughts and beginning by riffling on this object or series of objects. Those of Ra say, contemplation, or the consideration in a meditative state of an inspiring image or text, is extremely useful also among your peoples. 28 How is contemplation useful? Those of you who say, through crisis and contemplation each seeker processes through an infinite series of realizations which give a richer point of view, a deeper point of view and hopefully a more and more balanced point of view. Each increases in inner peace. 29 My favorite among the contemplatives I have known is Dale Chorley, who comments, I've been working on a poem that starts out, I set a course to seek the source, I've changed it about 20 times now.